Hello and welcome to another edition of Cut to Reveal. That sounds like our old intro. but whatever. Another great weekly episode. As always, I'm Ricardo or Ricky, and with me is Peter. Peter, what are we talking about today?
Hey, Ricky. Hey, everyone. Today we're talking about Polish movies. It's actually, I think it's something that you've mentioned a while ago that you would like me to, I guess, mention the Polish movies worth checking out or something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that's the idea. That's the idea. And I need to give like a short disclaimer at the very beginning, I guess, which is the fact that I haven't watched like many Polish movies actually. So keep this in mind. It's not like I, you know, watched everything and I know everything by the famous directors from Poland and stuff like that. For example, one of the most famous directors who passed away a few years ago is Andrzej Wajda. And Wajda made a lot of movies in his life, but I've only seen like three of those or something like that. So I have a lot to catch up with. So that's something that I just need to, you know, put out there. Be aware that I haven't seen many Polish movies. But there are some that I've seen that I think are worth recommending. And there is also this aspect that I want to talk about that, like, probably, I'm not sure if you have it in the US because US cinema is so international, I guess. I mean, it's been like, you know, it's like everyone knows US movies to some extent, right? Yeah. With Polish movies, it's not the same thing. And also the culture that we've been through, especially what I mean is like the Soviet era kind of movies that have been created in Poland, or even like post-Soviet era, are very specific and there are a lot of cultural references that I don't think many people from the West actually get, or maybe they're able to grasp it, but I guess like there might be this cultural shock to some extent, I guess, when watching those. For example, one of the films that I reference a lot when talking to some of my Polish friends is this movie by I just need to check the English title. So it's the movie by Marek Koterski, and the title is Nothing Funny, Nic Śmiesznego in Polish. And, oh man, I reference this movie a lot in the conversations, but I can't reference it when talking to you, for example. And yet it's so iconic. But at the same time, it might be just iconic to Polish people. It's one of those that might be, you know, hard to cross culturally, I guess. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
The references that you tried to make, unless you've seen the film or unless you're from Poland, then they would just completely go over your head.
Yeah, I mean, they would be weird. This one, I don't think it can go over your head. And I strongly recommend it, actually, like, everyone watches it. Seriously. It's a very good comedy, dramedy, whatever. I don't know how to... It's a dark comedy. I don't know. I don't know how to call it.
Okay.
It's quite unique, I think. But I'm just not sure how well it can be translated to other cultures.
Okay.
That's probably what I mean. Yeah, but before I go on, I just need to ask you, Ricky, have you seen any Polish movies?
No, I haven't. But there's some on my... The one that pops to my head on my list is Corpus Christi,
yeah,
which is, Corpus I know that Christi. You're a big fan of the director of that.
Yes.
But beyond that...
Yes, I am. Corpus Christi was actually nominated for the Oscar the same year The Parasite.
Oh,
Parasite
wow.
Was.
Okay.
And my guess is, and I'm quite confident when I'm saying that, is that if it wouldn't be the same year as Parasite, it would actually win. I think it's a very, very good movie. Like, it's so good. So good, seriously. So that's definitely a recommendation for everyone. Corpus Christi by Jan Komasa.
Can you...
That's the name of the director.
Can you give our listeners a quick synopsis of nothing funny, and then a synopsis of Corpus Christi.
Oh, nothing funny. You know what? I'll send you the link and you read it.
Okay.
How about this? What do you think? Okay, let me just do it on WhatsApp. Okay, this will be more convenient.
All right, so
have a look.
This is the synopsis for Nothing Funny, posted on Letterboxd. One day, hospital orderlies watching court. Sorry, this is written weird. One day, hospital orderlies watching a corpse in the morgue recognize film director. Man, even though he died, he begins to remember his life. He made a career making movies and numerous. Oh my God, this is like translated very poorly, I think.
Okay, so it's like a Polish translation. Okay, so let me describe it.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I think it's better just.
So basically, the narrator of this film is dead body.
Okay.
But we kind of like, you know, it's just like the way it begins. It begins on the dead body, and then the narrator, and we see the story basically of that person that. We just saw that. Yeah, and this guy he's been just like always second and never like being able to fulfill his dreams. Always just like chasing something and never getting it. Yeah, and never being treated seriously by others. And always on the lookout and always... you know, just never appreciated by anyone, really. And it's all mixed up with his, like, sexual, I guess, endeavors.
Yeah, yeah.
So a lot of ladies and, like, you know. Yes. And there are a lot of beats, a lot of jokes that are about, like, what Poland was like before we, I mean, in like, Soviet era. Basically, yeah.
Yeah, this film came out in 1996, so...
Yeah, it was already post-Soviet era, right? But still, like, it was referencing a lot of those things that were still happening before 89.
Yeah, not too far off. 7 years? 6-7 years later, so...
Yeah. Okay, Corpus Christi one. How about this one? Maybe this one is better translated. Have a look.
Okay, Corpus Christi. So this came out in 2019. A pious 20-year-old juvenile delinquent is sent to work at a sawmill in a small town. On arrival, he dresses up as a priest and accidentally takes over the local parish. The arrival of this young, charismatic preacher is an opportunity for the local community to begin the healing process after a tragedy that happened a year prior.
Yeah. Yeah, this one is a drama. This is like nothing funny. It's actually very funny.
It's like one of those feel good movies where you can, if you watch we'll post the trailers of both of these films, and then you can see it. Corpus Christi has a really good trailer where it's definitely something like it, though it's a drama.
I haven't seen it, but I believe you. So that's it. But yeah, I ask you, like, have you seen any Polish movies? I mean, I bet you have seen movies by Polish directors. That's for sure.
Probably.
That's for sure. I mean, one of those that you... I don't think that anyone can miss... I mean, anyone has seen a movie by Roman Polanski.
Oh, right.
Right? It's a very well-known name, not only from good sides. There is also a dark side to his name.
Much controversy.
Yeah, exactly. But... I guess even with that, you can't deny his talent for cinema. And he has made a lot of fantastic movies. The ones that I think, like, just quickly, like the very old one that I have seen, the oldest one that he did that I have seen. I mean, he has probably did movies before. That's the oldest one that I have seen is Knife in the Water. It's also very, very interesting. Ricky, how about the synopsis? Maybe this one is better translated as well.
Sure.
Corpus Christi was fine, right?
Yeah, that was good. So this is Knife in the Water. Is directed by Roman Polanski, came out in 1962. The synopsis is, on their way to an afternoon on the lake, husband and wife Andrzej and Christina nearly run over a young hitchhiker. Inviting the young man onto the boat with him, Andrzej begins to subtly torment him. The hitchhiker responds by making overtures toward Christina. When the hitchhiker is accidentally knocked overboard, the husband's panic results in unexpected consequences. And this was the first feature directed by Roman Polanski.
Okay, so I didn't know that it was his first feature, actually. So he had a very good debut, I think. Hence, a very, very good career. Yeah, but that was a Polish. That was a Polish movie made in Poland. You know, actors speak in Poland, stuff like that. But Roman Polanski, as you probably know, made a lot of movies produced in the US, or like, you know, in collaboration between like US and Poland, and also US and also Poland and other countries and stuff like that. So he has been kind of like international figure. Ghostwriter, for example, was very well known. But the movie that I want to talk about is Tess. Tess is the one that I really loved. It's really this one is amazing. It has a very strong female character, and I love the, you know, how, yeah, the development of her character and where it goes. It's so well done.
Do you want me to read the synopsis for this?
How about? Let's go.
Okay, so Tess came out in 1979. Tess, she was born into a world where they called it seduction, not rape. What she did would shatter that world forever. A strong-willed peasant girl is sent by her father to the estate of some local aristocrats to capitalize on a rumor that their families are from the same line, but is left traumatized from her experience.
Yeah. Another one that I have seen actually this year is Carnage. It was directed in 2011. And this one is very interesting to me from the standpoint of, this is basically like one flat, one apartment movie. And with just four actors. Basically, it's like a confrontation of two couples. They have a disagreement, they want to work it out, and things go west from there. Or east, or whatever. They go south, exactly. Or north. They could go north as well. Yeah, they go all the directions, basically. Right? North, south, west, and east.
Yeah, I never heard of this one. And this has got, for those who don't know, so Carnage, directed by Roman Polanski again, in 2011, stars Jodie Foster, Christopher Waltz. Yeah, Kate Winslet, Christoph Waltz, and John C. Reilly.
Yeah, so strong names and very, very good acting in it. So this one, yeah, it's I don't know. I keep thinking about this one, because it's probably been quite relatively cheap, I guess, even with those big names attached, and it holds up like very well, very well, very strong acting in this. Yeah, I think many people will enjoy it. By the way, there are other actors in the cast, but that's just because the film kind of opens on an image, and then in that image, like, there's like a small scene that we see kind of on the opening credits. Without dialogues, just like, you know, just the visuals. There are some kids, basically, and those are names of the kids. But the rest of the movie, all of the movie, basically, are just four actors. Again, very, very big names.
Yeah, so the synopsis for Carnage is, after 11-year-old Zachary Cohen strikes his classmate across the face with a stick after an argument, the victim's parents invite Zachary's parents to their Brooklyn apartment to deal with the incident in a civilized manner. Wow, that is a run-on sentence. Okay, so, yeah. We will also post the trailer and probably the Letterboxd stuff in there for this, too. But, yeah, this looks interesting. This looks interesting. I was just realizing that a couple weeks ago, my wife and I watched The Pianist, which won Best
Was also
picture.
Directed by...
Yeah, he won, right, Roman Polanski. Directed that, and that won the Oscar. Or won an Oscar. I know that Adrian Brody won, because for his acceptance speech, he famously kissed Halle Berry at the ceremony.
Oh, I didn't
ceremony.
Know about this.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a good movie.
Lucky
that's a good
you.
Film. And that's in Poland. Well, that, yeah, because that's based off of it. Sorry, I'm too far away. that was based off of a true story of a pianist, a Polish pianist, and his life and what he went through with through the world, the war.
Yeah, it's a very strong, very sad movie, but a very good one. Okay, let's go on, shall we? So, another director that has to be mentioned here is Kieślowski. And Kieślowski is very well known for Three Colors. I'm sure you heard about Three Colors.
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, he made like a, I'm not sure how you call it, but it's like three movies. All of them are separate, but they have some kind of similar thing. Similar, I mean, like even some of the characters just like, you know, they appear in the all of the movies, kind of, right? So they are connected, even though the movies are separate.
Oh, okay. I've heard of these.
Triptych? I don't know. Do you call it triptych or something like that? Movie triptych? I'm not really sure. But something like that, right? So it has, the three colors are blue, red, and white. And basically, those are the titles. Three colors, white. Three colors, red. Three colors, blue, right? I think the order that I just said is the correct one, although it might have started with the red. I think it started with red. I can't remember, not right now, sorry. But the middle one is the one that I loved the most. It's white. Three colors, white. So good, so good. And to be honest, like, before watching it, I wasn't really, like, sure if I get the phenomenon of Kieślowski, because he's, like, very well known and very well accomplished and very well recognized. For example, when I was at Camera Image Film Festival in 2022, Sam Mendes received a special award, Kieślowski Award, basically, which is like the I don't know, I think it's like the most important award kind of on the festival. It's not a competition award, so it's not like in competition, but it's like, you know, for how do you say it, like, you know, for the life achievement,
yeah,
or
lifetime,
whatever, right?
Yeah, achievement, kind lifetime of. Achievement award.
Exactly. And Sam Mendes, like, he was very familiar with his filmography. He, like, talked in details about, like, you know, how it influenced him, affected him, and so on. So it was interesting, like, to see UK-based editor, like, you know, clearly knowing Kieślowski so well. Another one that Kieślowski did, it is very famous for, is Decalog. Decalog is a Polish name.
Okay.
What are the Ten Commandments? How do you call Ten Commandments differently? Maybe you don't.
Think so.
Maybe there's the translation, actually. So Ten Commandments basically would be my translation for this. And it's a series of 10 movies, and I haven't seen all of them, so I can't talk about everything. But basically, this is like a series of 10 one-hour-long movies, and each one of those is kind of focused on one of the Ten Commandments. So that's what he's famous for as well. By the way, I don't think I've mentioned his first name. So his first name is hard to pronounce for English folks. That's for sure. And for anyone aboard, really. It's Krzysztof. Krzysztof is like a Polish translation, but once you see it, you wouldn't think that you read it this way. So Kieślowski is, I think, better start to Google it.
Krzysztof Kieślowski. Yeah, so listener, we're looking at Letterboxd right now. So in case you're confused by us and the awkward pauses of it as we read and look at stuff. Not a sponsor, Letterboxd, not a sponsor.
Exactly. That will be a returning joke, I guess. Okay, so with those names behind, I mean, another film, not necessarily the director, but another film that I want to mention. It was produced in Poland, even though the director is Swedish, I think. I'm not sure, but I think the director is Swedish. Yeah, he's Swedish. So the director is Magnus von Horn. But the movie is Sweat. And basically, it's a story. Oh, I'll let you read the synopsis. Why not?
Okay, so this is Sweat. Oh, this is
Do you
pretty
have it
recent.
already?
Yep. Sweat came out in 2020, directed by Magnus von Horn. Who needs friends when you have 600,000 followers? 3 days in the life of fitness motivator Sylvia Zsa.
Just read it, Sylvia.
Whose presence on social media has made her a celebrity, although she has hundreds of thousands of followers, is surrounded by loyal employees and admired by acquaintances. She is looking for true intimacy.
Yeah, and this one I've seen a review. I think on Letterboxd, I've seen a review where someone commented, "I for the first 20 minutes or so, I thought it's a documentary."
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I think it's a very, very good review, and also very, I mean, it describes the experience quite well, and it's a good thing that it's filmed this way, and that's one of the reasons I think it's so enjoyable to watch. So yeah, Sweat, very much recommended, and also a very strong female protagonist again. So yeah.
Within all these movies, how did these directors or these films influence you when you were doing your film?
I mean, Ricky, to be honest, I don't think I can say that those influenced me more than other films from other countries that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean
Yeah.
that's a good answer. Was either they did or they didn't, and if they didn't, then they didn't.
I like the drama of Corpus Christi. So that's one that kind of like, comes back to me, and that I think a lot about. Then again, like Carnage is not a Polish movie, but this one definitely like comes back in my mind as well. And I'm thinking about this as I'm trying to write my feature, or expanding Yellow Ticket into a feature, because I think it has some similarities with what I have in mind for the feature. And like there are again those films like Nothing Funny that like for me are this thing that you reference throughout conversations with some people all the time, right? But again, I don't think I can say that like that they necessarily influenced Yellow Ticket directly or something like that. There are a lot of like, as you know, like a lot of indirect influences, right? But if I were to point to films that I was thinking about when writing Yellow Ticket, it would be Thunder Road by Jim Cummings, and it would be another war round, which is the movie that I have on my wall, the poster, I mean. So those two, I guess, were the biggest references for me, references, inspirations, whatever, right?
As I'm starting on my narrative editing journey, so to speak, like I find not so much the style of people of, other editors and how there isn't like a direct correlation in like, I'm gonna do that and this, like this inspired me to do this, but the inspiration is like, this is great editing. These are great films. These are great directors. And that's getting me excited to edit this project that I'm on now, or just in general. So, I mean, just being in regards to specifically Polish and you being from Poland, I could see like you said, like these are references that are kind of like these are the things that help me make me who I am, and not necessarily the directly like, oh, this is a Roman Polanski inspiration right here that I'm putting into Yellow Ticket, and this is what I'm pulling from Corpus Christi, but it's just like those are like the things that came before you that are inspiring to make the things that you want now.
And by the way, I recall that when I talked with Walter Murch, he actually mentioned that he when he's cutting a movie, and it was very interesting to me to hear that he's avoiding watching any movies when he's cutting a movie because he says that when he sees something he likes or he don't like in a movie he watches, he instantly thinks about how to incorporate or to avoid it if he recognizes a similarity, if it's a similarity with the movie he's cutting, how to, basically how not to pollute his editing experience. So yeah, it was interesting perspective. I've never he heard about any editor saying that they try to avoid watching movies as they cut.
Yeah, and because I also was it in that interview, but also there's that book Conversations with him that I can't remember the entire name, but he had also said that he doesn't watch a lot of movies, which kind of blew my mind. Like, that's not something that I would have expected
Yeah,
at all.
that's true.
Oh, there was somebody else who was somebody else we interviewed. You remember you woke up at like 4 in the morning to interview
Oh, Vashi
Vashi.
Nijemski, sure.
Right, but Vashi is like the complete opposite, where he's editing and he's got a different movie on in the background to inspire him
Yes.
in the edit that he's doing right there, which blows my mind. That's crazy to me, because I can't even focus if I'm listening to a song with lyrics.
Yeah. I get like sucked in movies, so I couldn't do it. I would just watch the movie and that's it. The end of my working day.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, I mean, all is. How people work and are inspired and is different for everybody. And sometimes it's like kind of jaw-dropping with Merch not watching anything and then.
I mean, not anything, but yeah, but he says that he's not like a movie freak, like watching like movie every day or every other day. Yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense. I mean, I
It
could
makes
see that.
sense. Yeah, especially when you think about like, how well read he is, from like a lot of areas of science and art and technology and whatever, right? And philosophy. Yeah. That's probably the main reason, because like he gets inspiration from all of those places, not just movies. Yeah, his mind is extraordinary. Shall I continue with the next title?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I've got more. Yeah.
Okay.
This one was nominated for an Oscar as well, as far as I remember at least. It's Ida,
Okay.
directed by Paweł Pawlikowski. If I would spell it would be IDA. Basically, I'm not sure if I should call it, if I should read it Ida or Ida. I'm not really sure. You read it Ida in Polish.
Ida, Anna, a young Sorry. Namaszek in 1960s Poland is on the verge of taking her vows when she discovers a family secret dating back to the years of the German occupation.
Yeah. And this one is very visual. A lot of information is. And by the way, this stands true for Kieślowski movies as well. Very visual. You get a lot of information is basically just shown and never told. And that's like, you have you we all know that like good cinema should show, not just tell, right? But sometimes you don't really see a lot of choices in the movie where they show instead of tell. And those are very, very strong in that. You get a lot of information just via visuals and the action, not by dialogues.
Okay.
Ida is also a film that Walter Murch referenced quite a few times when talking about composition, because this one has it has. Sorry, I'm just checking if it did win an Oscar or not. I think it did. Yeah, Ida actually did win the Oscar, the International Oscar, right?
Oh, okay.
In 2014.
13, 14. Well, the film came out in 2013, so that would.
Yeah, it has very unique, distinct composition, where a lot of characters are composited at the bottom of the frame, basically, and we've got a lot of that space. Not really that space, because there is like a lot of information that it also includes. But those characters are like, they kind of have the weight of the most of the frame on their shoulders, which was, I bet, very deliberate. Yeah, and yeah, it's uniquely composited, that's for sure. The composition in this film is very unique, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm checking to see if he's using the same cinematographer each time or if that's just his style. It looks like it. He looks like he bounces between two. And I think on Ida, he uses both of them. Yeah. So you would be able to pronounce their names better. But yeah, he uses the same two cinematographers on Ida. And then in these other films, he uses either one or the other.
Yeah, Łukasz Żal is very well known. So we probably mean Łukasz Żal, right? I can see there were two cinematographers on Ida, Ryszard Lenczewski and Łukasz Żal.
Yeah. you had seen more of Pavel's work and he has kind of the same style in each of them, or a similar style, or no?
No, I haven't seen many more. I've seen another one that he did, which I don't talk about because it was also, I think, nominated for an Oscar, Cold War. I don't know, it didn't fall into my taste that much. It's a strong movie, that's for sure, and well executed, that's for sure. Like, I can't, say a bad word about it, seriously, because I would feel bad if I would, seriously. But it's just kind of like, I just don't, like, resonate with it so well. But yeah, it's probably worth mentioning as well. I know that it was recognized by a lot of a lot of people as well. Okay, but what the one that I want to talk about now, another one is Gods. Gods, directed by Łukasz Pałkowski, so not the same director but a similar name. And it's based on the life of a real cardiosurgeon, Zbigniew Religa. And it's quite a story. It's quite a story. And it's, again, like, based on real life and real events. So it's very good. Very good. So this one I strongly recommend as well. Gods.
This came out in 2014, set in communist Poland of the 80s. The movie depicts early career of cardiosurgeon. I can't think to say the
Yeah, Zbigniew
So
Religa.
that looks interesting.
All these names are not easy to pronounce.
Once you know the rules, though, then they're really easy.
Okay, yeah. And I guess I want to finish with the last one, maybe? There are more. Obviously, there are more, right? And there are more that I probably should mention because they're so iconic in the Polish culture. But like, I've decided to, like, talk about those that did have influence on me and that I kind of like think back, think about them, like, from time to time, and they come back to me. And one of those is definitely also The Debt from 1999. Can you find it?
Based on true events, the movie tells the story of two men who want to start a scooter business but don't have the required collateral for a bank loan. Then one of them runs into a former flat neighbor who offers to lend them the money. The guy turns out to be a thug and starts to extort them. Their life goes downhill from there.
Yeah, and this one I've seen it. I'm not sure how old I was, but my guess is that I was maybe 11 years old or something like that. And it might be a rated movie. Maybe I was 12, something like that. I don't know. I can't. I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure, but it left an impression on me. Like, I was like, I couldn't sleep well after seeing it. And it's not a horror, but it's like a, it's a thriller. It's a thriller. That's for sure. But it's a strong one, and it's based on real events and very. It's a dark movie. At least I remember it this way. Again, I haven't seen it since then, and maybe it's time to revisit, actually, for after all of these years. But I still remember it like quite well, and like even have some visuals in my head, and some scenes, like specific scenes that I still remember. And sometimes I don't remember a movie I've seen like a year ago, and this one after. Yeah, like 20 something years. I still remember it. Yeah, like 22 or 23. Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just curious to know how you came across this film. You're 11, 12 years old, and it just popped.
I watched it with my older sister.
Oh, okay.
And I don't think she actually knew what we were like, signing up for. And I don't know, I don't know, maybe I was a little bit older. I can't remember my age at this point. I know that my parents were away and I was just with my sister. And yeah, we watched it. Maybe I was 13, but something like that. Yeah, so I mean, it's not bad. Like, I mean, I've heard about like, 8-year-olds movies. I mean, even like I think that like Vashi, for example, he mentioned in his interview we did with him that he has seen some like maybe not R-rated movies, but definitely movies for adults when he was like 6 or 7.
Oh
So,
yeah. I mean, same with me. Basically,
okay.
you know, we don't even get into it, but yeah, you're like the TV is kind of keeping you company, and so it's like, well, this is on and I'm watching it, or this looks like a cool cover of a movie, I'm gonna rent it. And you know, and then we're watching it like, what is this?
Yeah. So I mean, like, you know, a lot of people have been exposed to stronger stuff earlier in their life. That's for sure. But for me, this one is that I remember as like a strong movie. Yeah, the first strong movie I've seen. Heavy, really heavy movie that I've seen. And yeah, when I'm thinking about this now, yeah, when I was 13, I already seen like much more strong movies. That's for sure. So I had to be like 11 or so. Yeah. In 1999, I was 10, so I probably saw it like when I was 11 or 12. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I was just about to
Yeah,
graduate college.
I know. I know. You're older,
Yeah,
man.
you wouldn't tell. Couldn't tell despite all the gray hair.
I'm always bald at the tip of my head, so this makes me look older than I am.
I have a younger brother, and he's 6 years younger than me, and everybody thinks that he's older than me because of how I act. But anyway. Unrelated. I was thinking that we should do maybe try to come up with like a theme. Like I have added a few of these to my list, but maybe I'll add some other ones, and just kind of like maybe we talk about the culture shock of stuff. Like an exact quick example, like when I was traveling in Australia years and years ago, and we were hanging out with this girl, and she was like, so are parties really like that in American films? Like when you were in high school, were you going to parties where people would just destroy the house and it was like 6 and 10? I was like, you know what? I've never experienced that ever. I don't think that that's happened. It hasn't happened to me. I've never heard of anybody that had. So I can say no, probably not. But just like those type of things, we're like, does this real life in America based on this movie? Or in the same for like, is this real life in Poland based on this Polish movie?
Let's do it. It's a great topic. It's a great topic. Yeah.
See if we can find stuff like that, because that'd be interesting.
That's a great topic. Yeah. Yeah. Let's cover it. Definitely.
We
We'll
gotta
put
write
it on
that
the
down.
list.
We gotta write it down.
Okay, guys. I guess we got to finalize for today. I'm leaving this afternoon for like some time, a few days off with my family, basically. So yeah.
So this is a Monday, but you're going to be hearing it probably on a Saturday.
Exactly. We're recording this on Monday. Yeah.
Enjoy this list of Polish films.
Yeah. And let us know once you've seen some of them. Let us know. Let us know. I'm very curious. Very curious what you think about some of these.
And I'll try to watch some before the end of the week. But anyway,
Cool. Cool.
all right. Well, have fun with your family and have a great week. And everybody, you do the same. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.